Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I'm a realtor with Real Broker here in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to provide massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and find out how they've been able to achieve massive success in their business. My hope is that you take away a few things from their experiences to grow your own business. My guest today is Baton Rouge realtor and team leader of the W Group, Trey Willard. Trey went from a real estate assistant to the CEO of the top real estate team in the state. Welcome to the podcast, Trey.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me, dude. Thanks for driving all the way from Acadiana to come hang out in Baton Rouge today.
Absolutely, man. I'm so excited to be here. Got to come down here and hang out with you guys, and so excited to be in the room with you physically. So that's awesome. So I guess, man, start off by telling us about the W Group, man. How did you get here? Start off by, you know, kind of telling you where you are, what you guys are doing over here, and then we'll get a little bit of your backstory.
Yeah, for sure, man. So we the inception of the company was in 2016, and you know, I started going to all these real estate conferences, and I started learning about this whole team concept and kind of looking around in these rooms, and I was like, man, those guys, that looks fun, man. They're running these big organizations and operations, and I was like, man, I'd like to do that, you know. And I found myself at a point in my business to where we were generating a lot of opportunities, and I was just one person at the time, so I couldn't take all the opportunities. So I was like, man, I really need to do this whole team thing. So we did. So we started the team in 2016. My wife was my first employee. She was the worst assistant that ever existed on the planet.
Wow.
And she'll agree to that if you ask her that question today. She definitely, it was kind of a means to an end. She had a job, and I was like, hey, you think you'd be interested in leaving your job and coming and working for me? And, you know, we'll see where this thing goes. And she agreed. And anyways, we realized pretty quickly that we needed to replace her. So that's the first thing we did. We got an assistant, Susan Langley, who was actually with us from 16 and just retired about 2 years ago. So she was with us for a long time. And then we started bringing on agents. We actually had three buyer's agents in pretty much the beginning of the company. And now today we sit around 50 agents.
Nice.
So our hub is in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We have a team on the North Shore in Mandeville, Covington, Madisonville. So we cover that North Shore area. And then we cover the entire greater New Orleans area. So everything from Metairie to Kenner to, you know, Midtown to, I mean, West Bank. And then we've got a little hybrid team we're working on in like the Bayou board. So Houma, Thibodeau, in that area. And then the goal is to continue to expand further east and get into the Gulf Coast of Mississippi and then Alabama and Florida. So,
dude, that's awesome, man. Yeah, that's huge. You got a lot going on for sure. So definitely going to be excited to hear a little bit more about how you guys set this whole thing up. So let's talk about your backstory of how you made it from, like we said in the intro, from a real estate assistant to kind of where you are now with the company.
Yeah, so before I graduated in LSU in 2007, and before, you know, I'd had, you know, a couple jobs working in office. I was selling copy machines, and then I did telecommunication sales, and I was a waiter, right? So I waited tables from 2001 until about 2010, 2009. And I also, and something that you and I talked about that we share a common interest in, I was a professional DJ. So from 2007 till about 2015, 16, I was a DJ, man. So
absolutely.
So that was another part of my life. But, and I know we'll go a little bit deeper there. So I'll try to fast forward. So a friend of mine said, hey, man, you should really get your real estate license. I think you'd be really good at it. You know, he saw my success in the service industry, and I was like, yeah, I'll give this a shot. At the time, I just pretty naive, didn't know what real estate was about, didn't know if that was really something I wanted to do. But I said, you know, at some point I've got to, like, you know, I've got to grow up a little bit.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So got into the real estate world in 2010. So I've been licensed almost 15 years.
Nice.
Yeah. And then again, he it was funny because Tim Houck, who some of you guys may know, but Tim had offered me a job and said, hey, look, how much money are you making in the service industry? I said, look, dude, if you can pay me $400 a week cash money, I will leave the service industry and I'll come work as your assistant. So I had taken the class to become a real estate agent. And during that time while I was assisting him, you know, I took my national state exam and I passed. So I worked as his assistant for, I'd say, somewhere between 3 and 5 months and really started to learn the business, right? Learned how to input listings in the MLS, learned how to, you know, I was actually taking photos at the time. I was, you know, going on appointments for him. I was, you know, putting signs and lockboxes out. I was, you know, just doing your traditional administrative work. So that's, gotcha. That's how it started.
Nice, dude. Yeah. So let's get back to that DJ thing, man. So that's one thing that I don't think I've ever mentioned on the podcast, that I used to be a former DJ. And it's funny that Trey and I, when we got to talking about it, we ended up running in some of the same circles back, what, 20 something years ago or so, back in the DJ game, man. So tell us, what was your DJ name? I don't even.
Yeah. Trize.
Trize.
Yeah.
I got you. I like that.
So this was back when like Snoop Dogg and all Izzle My Nizzles and all the things. And, you know, Trey Willard, the name itself was really not a cool name. Now, if you're a house DJ, it's like everybody uses their first and last name. So maybe I should have stuck with that. But
yeah,
that was at the time when I was, you know, I don't know, where was I? Probably like 20 years old. That was the most creative thing I could come up with. And look, it stuck, man. And, you know, I started off just like you, dude. I started off, I was a big fan of just listening to break beats. You know, we drive to Lafayette and, you know, we were places like Firestone. We were places like the Plaza, you know, places like 410. I mean, we'd go to New Orleans, go to Ampersand and go to some of these other places. And it was just like, you went to these clubs, which you and I talked about.
Right.
You couldn't hear this music anywhere else unless you were physically in the nightclubs. There was no, I mean, of course they had like some streaming stuff, but like, artists weren't putting their music online, right? They were like, you had to go and see them live in order to hear that music. And I was super passionate about the music, specifically like progressive breakbeats, which was, you know, inevitably invented in Lafayette, Louisiana, which was pretty cool. So
yeah,
became great friends, you know, with David Landry and Todd Sky High, and, you know, Digital Brandon Journey is still one of my super close friends today. And I mean, you name it, Moon and Hart and Scrub and Super Dave and, you know, yeah. I mean, all those guys, I mean, became really good friends because I was the guy that would come to the club and they could tell that I took an interest in what they were doing and not necessarily just like there to like hang out and be cool. Like, this guy's really, he's really into the music. He's really into the scene. He's really into the process of this, right?
Yeah.
So I just found myself, man, just fascinated with that. So I just like really just kind of self-taught, bought some equipment. I had these two little, this little Denon dual CD players with a built-in mixer. And I just sat in my room and I learned how to mix. And that was kind of like the end of it. And then from there, just kind of progressed from like, you know, progressive break beats and like house music into like more open format, learned how to scratch, got some, you know, MK3 technique tables with a TTM Rain 56 mixer and, you know, really learned the skill of really DJing. And I did that for a long time. So I mean, I can go as deep as you want on this or what?
No, that's all fun. I just wanted to give a little taste of it because that's one thing I really never talked about on the podcast was kind of that DJ background and club music and all those things, man. It was just kind of something fun that we stumbled upon, and it was a fun conversation to have, man, because we brought it right back to those days, man. They were such a great experience of being in the club, but also the exclusivity of the music these days. And I feel like music right now is at everybody's fingertips, and you can go on YouTube and find just about any song you want to find, or Spotify or whatever you're looking on. But back in those days, you had to physically be there in the club, or you had to have the record, or you had to have the insider with these other DJs to actually get the music that we were actually making. So we were taking a lot of this old music and we were making it into something that was club friendly and everything. So it was a crazy time, man. So just kind of chatting quickly about that. But
and we also talked about just how the club scene as a whole has completely changed. I mean, it was an event, that something that everybody got dressed up for, everybody got excited about. You know, you pregame, you went to the club, then you did, you know, late night. And again, now I'm 42 years old, so that probably still happens at some capacity, but I don't think you could ever recreate the club scene back in like the late 90s, early 2000s. It was pretty incredible back then.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of that was because it was a special time and a special place and something that you could only experience there. So let's transition that into what you got going on with the team, with you're creating a special experience that can't be found in a lot of places. You know, you're creating this environment that agents are attracted to and they're coming to because they're getting support and they're getting your leadership and everything. So dive into taking that experience that we had back in the day at the clubs and let's frame it in what you're doing now currently.
For me today, and this is the cool thing about being on another team, and it wasn't necessarily that the way the team former team leader did things I necessarily would say are bad or good or indifferent, right? I would say that he did an amazing job of really teaching me the disciplines and the habits that it took to be a successful real estate agent. But I also learned some things through that process that I wanted to do differently, right? And I'm a very, very genuine guy, very authentic guy. I really care about people, right? And you know, as a leader of this organization, for me, it's really important that I continue to provide as much value. And as an agent, I mean, I'm a real estate agent still today. So I know what agents struggle with. I know how hard it is in this business, specifically today with super high interest rates, unaffordability. You know, you've got interest, you've got inventory on the rise, you know, homes are sitting a little bit longer. So like to craft that skill to tell your clients, right? Like, this is why the homes are sitting and here's how you overcome those things, right? And then we've got objections from buyers and things. So we put a lot of focus and energy and time into like, how do we build the skill level from those agents? And then how do we help them really set them up for success? Because at the end of the day, right, the most important thing is you've got to have a lot of conversations with people in order to find the real, you know, the folks who are really looking to buy, sell, or invest in real estate. You've got a lot of people out there who say they're looking, but in reality, you know, it may not be urgent, right? And we have to teach them how to identify, right? Like, what is it? What is their motivation? What's their timeline, you know, and really teach them kind of how to navigate that. So like, if you take a step back and you just look at the business as a whole, right, what we want to do is we want to create an environment where we really do everything for the agents, you know. And if we talk about our pillars of value, number one, it's going to be culture. And, you know, Jamie, you're here in the office right now, so you're getting to feel a little bit of this culture, right? We have this beautiful office. We really have something really great here, right? And you have to be here personally to really to feel
absolutely
that, right? Second part of that is leadership and coaching. You know, I was a real estate coach for Tom Ferry for 4 years. My operations director was the mentee under the CEO of Geico, and he ran sales teams as large as 400 to 500. He did that for years. He's got a lot of experience. And then just, again, being in the industry for 15 years at this point and selling over 1,000 transactions personally, right? I have a lot of experience that I can, you know, use to lead a lot of these folks. So you have the culture, you have the leadership, and then we actually have the third thing would be our support system. So that's everything from a full-time marketing director, a full-time listing coordinator, 2 transaction coordinators, a full-time inside sales agent that calls sellers all day long and finds listing opportunities. We also have a COO who is building out systems and processes to make everything efficient. And then we have some virtual ISAs who are basically doing some database nurturing for us, right? Finding some opportunities to pass off to the agents. Number 4, opportunities. You know, we're part of Zillow's organization, so they're giving us 300 plus opportunities every month. You know, we do everything from PPC to realtor.com to every third party lead source you can think of, we're probably part of. And then number 5 is we go from opportunities and number 5 to appointments. And again, those appointments are coming from Zillow. It is answer your phone. You have a buyer on the other end to a seller on the other end who wants to sell their home or they want to buy their home. We have PPC leads that are coming in. You know what I mean? We've got the most Google reviews of anybody in Louisiana, at least that I'm aware of.
Nice.
At this point, which really helps. So we get a lot of come list me calls, right? We've got Michael in the back, like I mentioned before, calling. We've got Francisco in the database calling. So like, there's just all these opportunities and there's just so much value for the agent, where the only thing that we want the agent to focus on is literally get in your CRM and work left to right, which we've created a smart list for them. So they can get in here and then they can have conversations with people who've literally raised their hand and identified that, hey, we're interested in buying, selling, or investing in real estate. So have conversations, set appointments, follow up, write contracts, negotiate contracts, and go to closings. That's all I want my agents to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know that was probably a long-winded answer.
No, but, dude, that's a great answer, man. That's awesome, man. You know, and at the core of it, what's the first thing that needs to happen is the phone conversation.
That's
and
correct.
I think that's the way that you've built your business. Also, a couple other, I know you and I are friends with Scott Gaspard here in Baton Rouge, and he built his whole business on phone calls, and so did you. So, you know, that's the core of it as realtors is, you know, what's step one is get on the phones, right? Because all these processes and systems and all these things work, but if you don't pick up the phone and call, then, you know, it's all for naught, I guess, right?
100%. I mean, it is. If you look at any real estate transaction, every real estate transaction cannot happen with a conversation. So whether that conversation came from a phone call, a text message, an email, you know, meaning inevitably a smoke signal, right? That is the first thing that has to happen in order to set the appointment, to meet with the consumer, show the consumer homes, right? Get buyer broker rep signed, get listing signed, and then show and sell and negotiate. Like that, there is no other way. I mean, that is it.
Right. Right. And so you hear agents who are kind of scared to use the phone. And I said, you know, you might be scared to be a real estate agent if you're scared to have a phone conversation with somebody.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that you can blame reality TV for, I think, how easy they make it look on TV to get into this business and to have a tremendous amount of success and to make a lot of money. When in reality, you know, specifically if you live in South Louisiana, where the average price point here in our market, the median sales price is 262. I think the average is like just under right at 300,000, not a million, not right. 2 million, not 30 million.
Right.
Right. It's rare we have transactions at that level in this world that we live in. However, Netflix has perceived the real estate business to be this super sexy, you know what I mean, business where we just open these, you know, $30 million homes and we, you know, we just make millions and millions of dollars. But in reality, that's so far from the truth.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely, dude. And you know, I love the beginning part of your story is that you came from the assistant and you put in the work, you grinded and you learned. But not only that, as you sought coaching and you sought, you know, all these leadership things. And, you know, you've eventually gotten to where you've gotten because of your efforts, not just because somebody gave you anything, which I love that. You
know? Yeah. And I look at my business and our business as it's a profession, right? It doesn't matter what profession you're in. So say a doctor, right? I'll use a doctor for example. A doctor is going to go to school for 4 years and then they're going to go to another 4 years of residency and they're going to have to take a ton of tests. They're going to have to study all the time. They're not going to have a life for probably 8 to 10 years before they really start to make money. Okay. You agree with
gotcha.
That?
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. So you look at a doctor and a doctor makes pretty darn good money. I mean, there's no reason someone couldn't get a real estate license and come in this business and make doctor money if they're right. really ambitious and gritty. Did they have to put in the same amount of time that a doctor had to put in? Not on the front end. You know, it's the same thing with a professional athlete. Professional athletes have been playing, practicing, you know what I mean? And building these disciplines their entire life. And they finally make it to the big show, you know, and they're getting paid a lot of money. So the perception of most real estate agents is they're going to get in this industry and they're going to start all automatically making doctor money, professional athlete money, but nobody wants to do the professional athlete work
right.
that goes into that, understanding the market, understanding the trends, right? Learning your scripts and dialogues, right? Getting hung up on multiple times, failing forward.
Yeah.
They all want to get in here and immediately have conversations. And if somebody says no, it's like, oh, I quit. That's too hard. And it's just the perception of what people think it takes to be successful in our industry rather than the reality of what it really takes, which is a tremendous amount of grit, right? Lots of conversations, failing many, many, many times, building the resilience and, you know, thick skin. You know, when someone tells you no or doesn't give you the answer that you're looking for, you know what I mean? That you don't take it personal, right? Because you don't know if that person's having a bad day or not. You just happen to catch them at that time. So, you know, to be successful in this industry, I mean, you just constantly have to work on your craft, you know, and you have to get better and put in work every single day, just like a physician, just like a professional athlete.
Yeah, absolutely. And man, the pain that those guys had to go through, the long nights for the doctor, the pain of training and all these other things, the amount of tackles they had to take, hits they had to take, you know, stadiums they had to run, all those things before they've even hit the a high level of income is crazy. But like you said, realtors just want the high level of income without doing the stadiums, without doing the workouts, without going to med school for 8 years or the debt and struggles that came with, you know, passing that situation. So yeah, man, absolutely. 100% agree with you. It's crazy to even think that, that people would expect that, you know?
Yeah. And our industry has an 85% fail rate in the first 5 years. And I don't think people realize that. And as hard as it's been, I mean, if anybody experienced real estate and call it the latter part of 2020, all the way through 21 and midway through 22, when interest rates were 2.5% to 3%. And it was, I mean, we got down to 1 month of inventory.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd walk into a house and there'd be 4 or 5 offers and it was like, who's got the best relationship with the agent on the other side or who's got the best terms?
Right.
You know, that's what it came down to. So didn't have to really like learn the grit during that time. And then it's got really, really hard where there's just been a lot less sales. I mean, we just went through 2024 where we were up 24% year over year in a market that was the worst real estate market since 1995.
Wow. Yeah.
It's crazy. So it's the discipline, right? It's the consistency. I mean, that inevitably is what it takes for somebody to be incredibly successful in this industry.
Yeah, absolutely. So talk to us a little bit about that. Cause yeah, I don't know, for you, consistency and mindset is important. So talk to us a little bit about your personal, you know, consistency and mindset right now.
for anybody who knows me, you know, would say I'm a pretty positive guy, and would say, you know, that my mindset's pretty rock solid. But I struggle just like everybody else does, right? I have all the negative thoughts that go through my head. But what I do and what I have done in the past is I've spent a lot of time in just like in personal development, right? Reading as much as I can, listening to as much as I can, absorb as much as I can. And if you listen to those things enough and you hear them enough, you know, it's just redundancy that all of a sudden, like, it just clicks and you're like, I believe, right? I believe all of this to be true because I've read it, I've heard it, I've seen it so many different times. And if you listen to anybody or surround yourself with successful people, which I think Jim Rohn said, you know, I don't remember if it was Jim or it was somebody, you know, you're the average of the five people that you spend the most time with, right?
Right.
So I made a conscious effort to like get into rooms where I was the dumbest person there. So I've been in coaching. I've been coached personally by a real estate coach since like 2000 and I want to say like 11 or 2000. Well, I got in the business in 10. So I had a coach then, which was my leadership, you know, Tim was my coach. And then as I went solo in 2012, first thing I did was hire a real estate coach with Buffini and Company. So I've always had a real estate coach. I've always had somebody hold me accountable. I've always been into the personal development world. So everything from like, you know, Darren Hardy to you know, Tom Ferry to Tony Robbins to, you know, Alex Hormozy. I mean, there's just all, if you listen, Jim Rohn is probably one of my favorites, but if you listen to what they all say the same thing, right? You know, you've got to be incredibly consistent. You've got to focus on the process. You can't focus on the results. The results will take care of themselves. You cannot get defeated when things don't happen as quickly as you want. And I'm a very spiritual guy. So like reading the Bible, right? And listening to what I would consider to be the word, right? The Bible, the book.
The
right?
big book, yeah.
The big book, the book. So and as I've gone through personal development and read all the books. And when I say I've read all the books, I mean I've read all the books and continue to read the books because I'm always searching for the next thing or something, that little one small nuance that could make the difference, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. But as I've started reading the Bible, and last year I made a commitment to read the 1 year Bible, and I've got about probably halfway through, and now I'm picking back up to where I left off. But it's all the same concepts. It's just written in a different way.
Yeah.
Right. So for me, it's just been like I have got to consistently feed myself with positive thoughts all the time or positive information all the time and not let negative things come in my world. And when negative people come around, it's like John Gordon used to say, the energy sucking vampires. Right.
Yeah.
You got to get them out of your world.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And I love that about reading different books because, I mean, I'm a big book reader as well. And I love to consume a lot of content. But things hit you at different times. And even if you pick up the same book 10 years later, when you picked up The Compound Effect or, you know, any kind of book, you're going to read it at different stages of your life. And you're going to be like, man, this really makes sense to me now in where I am versus where I was 10 years ago when I read it.
Over the holidays, I picked up The Millionaire Real Estate Agent, which I've read 5 or 6, 7 times already in 14 years of selling real estate. And every single time I pick it up, I'm in a different season of life and a different season of my business. So it just hits a little harder in other places. And this past time it hit really hard towards the end, which is the Net $1 Million section, which is something I haven't read lately. And I'll remember the first time I ever picked up the book and I'm reading about, you know, the lead generation model or the organizational model or the budget model. And I'm thinking to myself, like, this stuff is way over my head. Like, I don't even know what any of this stuff is. But as you, like your season of your life, right? As you compound on, you know, those experiences, you know, and the education and the learning, it's just like all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, this stuff all makes sense. So yeah, I mean, and I'm glad you said The Compound Effect because I think that's the book that probably had the biggest impact on me since of any book I've ever read.
Honestly. Yeah, it's one of my favorite books. I actually recommend that to a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's Darren Hardy, right?
Yeah, yeah, Darren Hardy.
So yeah, he's the man. But just the whole thing, like you said, it's been great to see your story as far as compounding and every day going to work and great things happen in those moments where you're doing stadiums out there in the rain by yourself, or that doctor is, you know, studying for a big exam, or like that's what you've been able to do and achieve this amazing thing as far as being the top team in the state. But it all came from those things that compounded on itself, that dollar doubling every day or whatever it was. Like, that's huge, dude. So I love to see, you know, you succeeding at that level just because of all of that.
Yeah. My buddy, who's become a really, really good friend of mine. He's an author. He goes around, he's like a $25,000 an hour keynote speaker. Alan Stein's the guy's name. He's written two books, just got a book. He's self-publishing a third book. We had a Zoom yesterday and him and I have a monthly Zoom call. I'm just friends. We call it like our little man hour. And he tells a story before most of his keynotes, and he talks about Kobe Bryant. So he's at this Nike basketball clinic. This is years ago. So before he got into the personal development world, he used to be a trainer, an athletic trainer. And anyways, he goes up to Kobe, and he says, "Hey, Kobe, would it be okay with you if I came and watched your workout in the morning?" So Kobe, you know, was like, "Yeah, of course." He said, four or five a.m. And he said four, and he says p.m. He's like, no, a.m. So, of course, Alan wakes up like an extra hour early and he wants to beat Kobe to the gym. So he gets there at 4 a.m. And when he gets out of the car or the Uber or whatever, he can hear his sneakers in the gym before he even walks in the gymnasium. And he just goes and he sits down and he's quiet. This is at 4 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday, right? And he's watching Kobe Bryant. And this entire hour that Kobe's working out, all he's working on is like the fundamentals of like working his feet, right? Just like, that's all he did, like foot drills, right? And after the practice was over, the workout was over, you know, Alan left, Kobe left, and he sees Kobe back at the camp, and he says, "Hey, Kobe, I noticed that you were just working on like the fundamentals, like you were just working on some foot drills. Like, how are you the best basketball player in the world, and this is what you're working on?" And he says, Kobe flashes his Kobe smile at him and says, "That's the reason I'm the best basketball player in the world, because I focus on the fundamentals."
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome. I love that story. I love a good story, man. I'm reading a book right now, Stories That Stick, and that's awesome. I love incorporating stories into podcasts and real estate and using that as a way to tell a story around a property. I think that's something that as realtors, we really ought to be doing. And, you know, I said, I guess a little while back on a post recently was, you know, stop using just sold posts, you know, like actually get in there and tell the story of something great that happened for a buyer or seller, and tell that story.
It sounds like you listened to the Ed Milet and Rory Vaden podcast. And if it wasn't that one, go back and listen to it, because it is awesome. And he talks about the three things that people should focus on their content. And it's entertainment, it's encouragement, and it's education. And those are the three E's that he talks about. And I think that's really, so for me, I'm not an entertainer necessarily. Like, you're not going to see me doing any crazy TikTok dances or, you know what I mean? That's just not how I get down. You know what I mean? I'm a little bit more polished than that.
No, I get it.
But I do love to like bring to my content encouragement and education. So that was really cool and profound for me, because like sometimes we overthink this, and this is really back to the Kobe story, is you and I were talking about the magic pill or what's the one thing that I can do to really fast track this success, when there is no such thing. Nothing's going to be consistency and hard work. So when you have somebody like Kobe Bryant who's telling you, "Man, I just focus on the process and I know that the results are going to take care of themselves," it's the same thing in our industry, you know, but you've got to have patience. And I think the fact that we live on what I would consider to be the on-demand economy, most people have a really hard time with patience, because they can get what they want, when they want, how they want it. And that's the world that we live in. So it's created this fast track to everything, or I want it now, or it should happen super quickly. And when it doesn't and they don't get those results, what happens to most people? They either get paralysis, or they abandoned the mission. And you just, I don't know that that's even possible when it comes to building a business. I don't think you can go from zero to hero overnight. But again, I blame that almost on the world that we live in because of the instant gratification that we're used to receiving. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I 100% agree with you. I mean, it takes 20 years of being in business to be an overnight success, or
that's
whatever.
Right.
It takes 15 years in business to be an overnight success.
100%, man.
You know, it's what made Trey successful is not, you know, where you are or what you did this week. It's everything that you did 15 years ago.
And it's boring. It sucks. You know what I mean? I sit here in many days and I'm just like, I wake up and I'm like, I'm going to go do the same exact thing I did yesterday. And sometimes it's exciting. Sometimes it sucks. And, you know, you just have to fall in love with the boredom of what success is. And I think if you can do that, which most people need some spontaneity in their world, and I don't disagree with that. I think you should probably find some of that. But at the end of the day, you also have to know that, like, it is going to be boring.
Yeah.
Period. Now, if even like these people I see that are social media influencers who are out there and they're freaking filming content all the time. They're editing all, like they're doing, like, you don't think those people get burnt out?
Yeah.
100%. Right. So you, whatever your heart is, right, you got to choose your heart. And another thing that Jim Rohn said that I shared with my team this week and this morning in one of our accountability calls was, don't wish it were easier, wish you were better.
Yeah. I love that. Well, man, we're getting close on time, and I want to be respectful for your schedule, and I know you have some closings coming up and all that stuff, so I'm going to let you get back to it, but I'm going to have you say maybe one more thing. I always ask the same question on the podcast, man. We've got realtors who may have had a tough year, or maybe they're kind of not where they want to be, or maybe it's a brand new agent looking for a path to kind of be successful. What kind of encouragement would you give them? And then we'll close it out.
Yeah. For me, it's always like, why, right? It's your wildly important goal. It's your why. Like, you have to identify that. I think that's the foundation. Meaning if you can't figure out why in the world you're doing this, what's going to motivate you to take action on the days where you just feel like shit, you just don't want to do anything. You know what I mean? It's hard. And if your why isn't big enough and you're not really like clear on what your quote unquote, your vision is, like, you got to start there. So like we do business planning every year in October. And one of the things I'll tell you, which is interesting, is like, if you just write it down, like if you have a goal and you just write it down, you're 44% more likely to hit that goal just by writing it down, right? You add some accountability behind that, 77.6% more likely to achieve that goal.
Wow.
So for me, I had to force our agents on the team to physically fill out their business plans and really think, because I do truly believe, and this is something Gary Keller says, you have to teach your people how to think. So like, take some time, disconnect. There's a really great book and it's called The Road Less Stupid by Keith Cunningham. And he has an entire chapter about what he calls thinking time. And it's, he goes into his little room, he's got his recliner, and it's like, you just literally kind of have to disconnect and allow yourself to think, to dream, you know what I mean? To have that big vision, to visualize. And I think that's where a lot of people, they just get stuck and they're like, well, I can't do it. And they just abandon it, right? But the thing is like, you got to get really clear on why you're doing this. And I think that's the foundation for really anything that you do. And if you can get clear on that, then you can reverse engineer the plan to help you achieve whatever it is that you really want in life, right? So I think everybody needs to start with like, have some thinking time. What is the vision? What do you want? And why in the world do you want it? And what's going to continue to motivate you day over day, right? When you need that motivation to push through those really tough times. So start there.
Yeah.
I think that for me is like, it's hard. It's not easy. You know, it's something that just takes a lot of work. But once you kind of figure that out and you put that down, right, and you have that vision, then you just, you know, you take the action that it's going to take inevitably to achieve those things.
Love that. Yeah, dude, that's awesome, man. I really appreciate you being a part of it, Trey, dude. That's been awesome to hang out and catch up with you and hear about all our backstories and everything coming from the same place. And man, I'm excited to see where you've been able to make it from our DJ days, you know? So, so awesome, dude, to hang out with you. And I'm so glad you were able to add so much encouragement to your team, but you know, that we get to share this encouragement with all of our listeners, man, who are listening around the Gulf South and around the U.S. So anyway, brother, thanks so much for joining me, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, my friend. Thank you.
Okay, guys. Well, I hope that you guys have an amazing day.